This dynamic message is brought to you by New Creation Church, San Antonio.
Praise God. All right, so here is the title of this morning's message. And we've titled this, The Whole Counsel of God's Word. And so today, that's what I want to speak to you about or share with you today. You know, for example, this is one of the traits of gossip, for example, and I'm not a big fan of gossip, but you know, when someone engages in gossip and tells you a story, they only tell you part of the story. And you know yourself, there's always three sides to a story. There's, you know, his or her side and the other person's side, and then there's what really happened, as we say, the truth. And so not to say that anyone's lying, but we all present facts from our perspective. And you know, when it comes to God and God's Word, because there is so much teaching out there and sadly so much erroneous teaching, and I'm not saying we have it all down, but we're certainly doing the best we can. But you know, some places mix law and grace and thus present a very weird, what I call schizophrenic gospel. Because on the one hand, God loves you, but then on the other hand, he judges and punishes you. You see, that's what happens when you mix law and grace. Or alternatively, there are gospels out there that are still very law-based. They're really just literally preaching the law. And so everything is merit-driven, everything is performance-driven. And then, of course, there are gospels that are just, you know, the one is on the one ditch and the other one's on the other side of the ditch of the road, which is, you know, this greasy grace where you can just do whatever you like and grace has got you covered. And no matter what happens, well, grace has got you. I call that greasy grace. And so we have so many doctrines out there in Christendom that we have to be real careful that we are able to discern what is truth, what is correct teaching. And so this is why today I want to speak to you about understanding what the whole counsel of God's Word is. In other words, to put it in a different way, I want us to look today and evaluate or reevaluate the kind of relationship that we have with God's Word. In essence, that's what I want to do. And so depending on one's beliefs, on one's background, and one's theological beliefs, the term God's Word can mean different things to different people. And that is so true. I mean, you say God's Word to someone and they'll think of one thing. Then you say the same thing to another and they'll say that this is what it is. And so today, I want to ask you, when I say the term God's Word, what comes to mind to you? What do you see as God's Word? Some people will say, well, for me, it's the Bible. Others will say, for me, it's the Lord Jesus. Others will say, well, you know, it's when God speaks through a prophet or we get some kind of revelational utterance. Others will say, well, you know, it's the Torah. It's the first five books of the Bible. Others will say, well, you know, it's divine wisdom and moral truth that helps us live life and how God intended for us to live. And so you'll have different opinions. Someone else will say, it's an app on my phone. Others will say, well, it's this book that I carry. And so today, I want to clarify that. I want to clarify what God's Word is, what it should mean to us, and the kind of relationship we should have with God's Word, and the kind of relationship God wants us to have with His Word. I believe it's going to crystallize some things for you. It's going to help you just reevaluate perhaps some things. But either way, I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. So what I've done is I've taken the five most common ways that people see God's Word, their view, the five most common perspectives of God's Word. Now you tell me if any of these is how you see it and how it fits into your life. Okay. So the first way is that many see God's word as in reference to the Bible. In other words, when they hear God's word, they picture, they see the Bible. So someone who says, this is God's word, they see, okay, he's talking about the Bible. He's talking out of the Bible. And in truth, that is a big part of what God's word is. But that's not the totality of God's word. But let's have a look at that first. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, reading from the New Living Translation. It says there, talking about the Bible, all scripture is inspired by God. In other words, there is nothing in that Bible. I'm talking about the canonized, authorized Bible, because there are many Bibles out there. Many religions and even cults have their own Bibles. I'm talking about the Bible that is actually being canonized properly and is seen as a Bible. So all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So right there we see the reference that the Bible can be seen as God's word, because this is talking about God's word. So that's the first view that people have about God's word. So when they hear God's word, they think of the Bible. And I'm sure you do too. So do I. When someone says God's word, my mind immediately goes to the Bible. They're talking about the Bible. So there is one correct perspective of God's word. For others, God's word is primarily a reference to the Lord Jesus. And that's also true about God's word. Look at this in John 1, verse 1. It says, talking about Jesus here, okay? In the beginning was the Word. Notice capital W, because it's in reference to the Lord Jesus. It's another name for him. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So that shows us right there that another name for the Lord Jesus is the Word of God. So when you refer to God's word and you say, well, that's Jesus, that is also correct. Now look in verse 14, what it says in context about what we've just read. It says, and the word became flesh. Well, now we know for sure it's talking about the Lord Jesus. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word of God is from God. He is God, and he was sent as a man to be like us, to redeem us, and he is full of grace and truth. So in other words, when you hear teaching of the word of God, you should hear mostly grace and truth, right? That's pretty powerful. So that's the second perspective that people have about the Word of God. And so the first thing is that when someone says God's Word, yes, they're talking about the Bible. The second thing, when people say God's Word, they're talking about the Lord Jesus. That is absolutely correct. Is that how you see God's Word? Well, that's how we need to see God's Word. And then thirdly, some believe that God's word relates to a divine revelation given through a prophetic or divine message. In other words, you may be in a small group, you may be in a home group, you may be in church, in a large church, and someone just during praise and worship, or as praise and worship winds down, or even as there's a moment of silence, someone begins to prophesy and speak a message forth from God. Now we will know if it's from God, because it will always edify, it will build us up, it will be in order, it's not going to be chaotic, it's not going to be destructive, It's not going to be negative because that's not how the gifts of God flow, but that could be it. And so it is possible, but that is also how we can know God's word. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 from the New King James here. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. In other words, yes, God also speaks through prophets, through prophetic utterance, through divine messages. And so that's another way we can identify and relate with God's word. So firstly, God's word is the Bible. Secondly, God's word is the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, God's word is when we hear a prophetic or divine message given to us at a certain point in time. But then again, we need to be the ones who judge the word. Don't judge the prophet. Don't judge the one prophesying because they're human like we are. But what we do is we judge the message. Does it line up with God's nature and character? Does it build us up? Does it tear us down? Amen. So that's where there's a fine line where we need to learn to just perceive. We need to sense by the Spirit of God. But that is also another way that God's word is identified. The fourth way that God's word is often identified specifically amongst Jewish people or Jewish tradition. God's word refers to the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, also known as God's law. Okay. Now, for those who related to God by law before the cross, yes, that was God's word. So if you speak to an Orthodox Jewish person and you ask them, what is God's word to you? They will tell you it is the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Torah. Okay. And so that's what they would refer to. And that's also correct in that context. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. This is God speaking about the Torah, the first five books of the Bible within those books. It says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, this was God's instruction to the Jewish people, the people of Israel, back in that day. And he was talking about his law, his first five books of the Bible. And he was basically telling them, you need to meditate on my word. You need to become familiar with my word. That, you know, whether you're sitting, lying, waking up, it's always on your mind. But he was specifically referring and speaking to the Jewish people then. And so that was God's word. So yes, it is another way we can know God's word. But that is mostly how it relates to those who related to God by his law. Today, we have the entire scripture, Old and New Testament, and that is God's word, not just the first five books of the Bible. Okay? But you will often find in scripture, especially in the Old Testament, especially under the law, you will see references to God's word, which are very specific to the Torah. And oftentimes this is confused in the New Testament amongst New Covenant teachers. And they say, you know, God's word, and they're making reference to the Torah. And this is why they often mix law and grace, because they think it's the same thing as the entire Bible, but it's not. It's part of the Bible, but not the whole Bible. Are you with me? So we need to learn to differentiate between those. And then the fifth way that God's word is known as is that it's known as a divine, or should I say, it's known as divine wisdom from God and moral truth, which guides human conduct and values. You will often hear unsaved people or people who are new to the faith, you will often see them having a perspective of the Bible, God's Word, as just like a manual, like an instruction manual. You know, in that manual, for example, when you buy a washing machine, you get a manual with it. When you buy a bicycle, you get a manual with it. When you buy a new toy, you get a manual with it. Every device we purchase has a manual to help us make the best use of it and understand what we've just purchased, what we have, and how to use it. Well, oftentimes, people refer to God's Word as that. And they're not entirely incorrect, but it's also just partial truth. And the Bible actually tells us that. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. The psalmist writing here about God's Word, and this is what he says. He says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet." In other words, it guides me. "And a light to my path." In other words, it gives me wisdom and helps me conduct my life within your values. So yes, we can see God's Word that way as well. And so we've seen here so far the different ways, the different relationship people have, believers have mostly, with God's Word. And it's not wrong to have that kind of relationship, but it shouldn't be just one of them or just exclusive to one of them. We should have the kind of relationship with God's Word in all of those aspects. We should see it as the entire Bible. We should see it as the Lord Jesus Himself, because He is the Word of God. We should see God's Word as divine revelation and prophetic utterance. Yes, we should. We should see God's Word as the Torah for those under the law and relating to God by law, or when they related to God by law. And we should also see God's Word as divine wisdom and moral truth, which guides human life and guides our conduct and our values. Yes, that is all of God's Word. So God's Word is all of those things. Amen. It is all of those things. It is the written Word of God. It is the living Word of God. It is the spoken Word of God. It is the covenantal Word of God. And it is the guiding Word of God. The five things I've just shown you. I'm just putting them in a different way. And that's the way that we can remember them. That's the way that we need to have our relationship with God's Word, because we should have a relationship with God's Word. Don't you agree? I mean, I know that some of us have bookshelves of books in our homes, and you may be an avid reader, and you may have lots of books. But once you've read a book, you generally just put it in your shelf, or you go and exchange it, you pass it on to someone else, but you don't necessarily develop a relationship with that book. But when it comes to God's Word, we need to have a relationship with that book. In other words, we spend more time with that book than any other book. We take to heart what that book says and make it our own and make it a part of our lives. We actually consider it as authority in our lives. We take it and, you know, just like there's someone that you respect very highly, and if they say you shouldn't do such and such, and when they're not around, you know, temptation comes to do such and such, and you walk away from it, you refuse it, because of the respect you have for that person who told you not to give into those things. Well, the Word of God should be the same, because the Word of God is also the Lord Jesus, so it's a person. And so we should have that kind of respect, that kind of integrity relationship with the Word of God. Are you with me? So it's not just another book in your bookshelf. It's not just another app on your device. It is actually the very Word of God. And we've seen the five different things that God's Word is. Well, what are those things? Remember, it is the written Word of God. It is the living Word of God. It is the spoken Word of God. It is the covenantal Word of God. And it is the guiding Word of God. Amen. That's the kind of relationship we need to have with His Word. So each of those aspects that I've just discussed, those five different things, reveal a different way of how God communicates with humanity. That's also another way we can see God's Word and the kind of relationship that we need to have with Him. You know, I think about Helena and I. We speak to each other. We generally speak to each other in English, and we understand each other. But then there's also times when we're out and about, and we want to say something to each other, which we don't want the other person or people to understand. And then we speak to each other in Afrikaans, for example. Not that we're trying to be rude. For example, the one time I think we were looking at cars, we wanted to buy a new car, and I could see that this guy was trying to rip us off. And so I didn't want to say it directly and him understand it. So I just said to Helena in Afrikaans, you know, this guy's trying to rip us off. Let's move on and go to the next dealership. And so that kind of thing. And so, you know, we speak to each other in different ways. Sometimes, you know, with Helena, I know I could be sitting here having a cup of tea, as you know, I love my hot tea. And, you know, she's sitting here with me and I look at her and I'm too lazy to get up and get myself a piece of toast or something. And I can see she's also just trying to rest from the hard day. And if I say, you know, will you be making any toast anytime soon? That's my little hint. And you know, she just looks at me and pulls a face or just looks at me a certain way. She doesn't have to say anything. I know exactly what she's saying. She's saying, no, get up and get it yourself. But she doesn't say any words. And I mean, you know, Gabby does that with me. I do that with him, I'm sure. My face communicates volumes sometimes. My actions communicate volumes. And so what I'm saying to you in all of this is this. There are different ways God communicates with us. And I've shown you today, and I'm discussing today, these five different ways. So there will be times when He will communicate with you directly through His written word. You'll be reading a portion of scripture, or a verse, or a phrase in a verse will stand out to you, and that's God speaking to you. Sometimes He will speak to you by giving you a revelation or further revelation or reminding you about something that Jesus did as a person when He was here on earth, or just reflect the nature of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's God speaking to you. Sometimes someone will come and they may not even know sometimes, and they will say something that you've been trusting God for, that you've been waiting to hear God on, and it will just click with your spirit. And you will know, God just used that person to tell me and confirm something I've been trusting Him for. I mean, come on. God used a donkey to speak to the prophet in the Old Testament. So if He can use a donkey, He can use anybody. And I'm not saying everybody are donkeys, but you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes you will see something in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible, which is under the law. And it will point you to Jesus and remind you something about Jesus. And sometimes, you know, you're trusting God for direction, you're not sure what you should do, how you should approach a situation, and all of a sudden you'll read an account in the Bible and it will show you how a certain person related to a situation. Like, for example, Joseph. He was betrayed by his brothers, he was sold by his brothers, he was lied about by Potiphar's wife, he ended up in prison, all unjustly, all uncalled for, but yet the Bible says he maintained his integrity and God was with him. And you know, sometimes, the other day in actual fact, you know, some things happened during my day and they weren't pleasant. And in the evening, I happened to just be reading about Joseph and it popped up. And I thought, you know what I need to do in this situation? I need to just maintain my integrity and just trust God because He is with me. And boom, there it was, God's Word guiding me and giving me just the moral tune that I needed. And so these are five different ways how God will use His Word and speak to you through His Word. Amen. So I want to remind you about those things, because this is the kind of relationship God wants us to have with His Word. So they are different ways that God communicates with humanity through His Word. Amen. So they're not separate. They don't contradict each other. Rather, they are complementary expressions of divine truth. Amen. I mean, think about it. The Bible is a record of divine truth revealed. Jesus is the complete revelation of divine truth in human form. The Holy Spirit continues to reveal divine truth to us. And the Torah was God's covenant word with Israel under the law, which pointed them and points us to Jesus. So it's still very useful in pointing us to Jesus. Amen. And God's word does provide moral and ethical direction for life. Amen. Absolutely it does. I mean, anything and everything you can think of, God's word has it all. And so this is why it is so important for us not to see the Bible just as another book, just as another app on our phone. We need to see the value of it. This is how God communicates with me. And we should be able to recognize when it is God speaking to us based on those five things that I've shared with you today. Amen. So when we understand the term God's word holistically, now please don't go and crucify me for using that word, because I know that word in New Age realms is used very freely and meant very weirdly, in my opinion, but it's actually a genuine, good, wholesome English word. And holistically basically just means embracing it all, embracing all of it, receiving all of it, enjoying all of it, right? And so when we understand the term God's word holistically, as I've just shared with you partly, we see how deeply God desires to communicate, to instruct, to guide, and to redeem us. I mean, how many of us would make that kind of effort? You know, if you want to get a message across to somebody, where you're going to send them a recording, you're going to send them an email, you're going to tell someone and send them to go and speak to them and tell them that. Then you're going to write a novel or a post on X or Facebook, whatever, to make sure that hoping that they'll see it. And then you're also going to write a short story about it and publish it on a blog or something. How many of us would make that kind of effort to communicate with someone to get our message across? And yet this is exactly what God has done. He has found so many different ways to share His word with us so that we can receive all that He has for us. Amen. Don't you think that it just communicates and tells you and shows you how He loves us and how He wants to have a communal relationship with us? It's powerful, praise God. And so as we've seen today, God's word is more than just one specific thing. It is a complete living and guiding reality. Can I have a good amen from somebody? You see, God's word is the written word of God. It is the living word of God, and it is the spoken word of God. Each part works together to reveal God's truth, His grace, and His will for our lives. That's ultimately what He wants to convey to us. Amen. His truth, His grace, and His will for our lives. Praise God. The Bible also gives us instruction, and Jesus fulfills and embodies that instruction, and the Holy Spirit helps us apply that instruction in our lives. I mean, just think about what I've just said. Think about the design, the super intelligent, super wise, beyond our understanding kind of design. This is what God has done with His word. He has given us a written book that it shows us and gives us His instruction. Then He sent His son Jesus to fulfill and embody that instruction. And then he left the Holy Spirit with us to help us apply and live by that instruction in our lives today. What does that say about the heart of God and how he loves us? Amen. I mean, it's pretty powerful. So when we say that we stand on God's word, we're not just talking about a book, but we are talking about standing on the full revelation of God in his written truth, in his Son, and in his Spirit. Amen. So having said all of that, let me ask you three questions. And you answer them as I ask them, okay? Number one, do you see God's word as just a set of rules, or do you see it as a way of having a relationship with God? Because you know, there's many people out there who just see the Bible as a set of rules. And as long as I keep those rules, I'm okay. Before I received salvation in Jesus, that's how I used to see God's word. It's God's rule book. And I was too scared to look at it because, you know, the more you know the rules, the more you got to keep them. So if you don't know the rules, you know, ignorance is bliss. But God knows our heart. He knows we're ignoring his book. So anyway, but if for any reason you have been seeing God's word as just a set of rules, I want to encourage you today. You need to see God's word as you having a relationship with God through his word. And I trust that what I've shared with you today has helped you understand and see that. Amen. So that's my first challenging question. My second challenging question is, do you embrace the fullness of God's word and not just as God's law to follow? In other words, do you embrace God's word completely, or do you just embrace parts of it? Specifically, the old covenant, which is the law. Most people have that kind of relationship with God's word. It's about the Ten Commandments. It's about following the golden rule. It's about obeying and disobeying and being blessed and paying the consequence. We shouldn't have that kind of relationship with God's word. We should have a wholesome relationship with God's word. And yes, understand God's law, but also realize that God's law points to the Lord Jesus. It points to the grace of God, and it helps us see and understand our human condition without Jesus, and it helps us see and be blessed by our condition with salvation in the Lord Jesus. Amen. In other words, living under grace instead of living under law. Well, that's the kind of relationship we need to have with God's word. And then my third challenging question is, do you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and help you apply God's truth in your life? You know, you have that nudge in your conscience. You have that little check in your heart. You have a little unrest about a situation. That's the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you through his word. Amen. So God's word is alive, praise God. And he invites us to live in it, to live through it, and live by it. So to illustrate what I've just said, that point that I've just made, I want to bring it home more close to what we're familiar with to help us understand that. So I'm going to put up a slide now and show you how I can illustrate what I've just said. So there you have it on the left. You have the picture of a smartphone with all the apps in it, fully charged. And then on the other side, you have it flat. The batteries run flat and the person's putting it on charge, and it needs to be charged, right? So while we leave that on the screen, let me say some things. God's word is alive. Yes, we know that it is. And God invites us to live in it. And he invites us to live through it and live by it. This is how we can relate what we're seeing on the screen there. That smartphone is alive as long as it's charged, and it's fully functional, and you can enjoy the most out of it as long as the software is updated regularly as the manufacturers make those updates available. If you stop updating your phone, eventually you start having crashes, you start having bugs, you start having to fix other things, and the phone stops working, right? And then also, you need to have the right apps on your phone. So if you like reading your Bible, you need a Bible app on your phone. You need to have the correct apps on it. And so once you charge your phone, you keep your phone updated, and you have the right apps on it, you can live by it, you can live through it, and you can live within it. In other words, part of your life. Amen. And you see, this is the kind of relationship we need to have with God's Word. We need to charge ourselves with God's Word. We need to keep ourselves updated with God's Word. And we need to have the right application of God's Word for the situations that we face because we are familiar with God's Word. Did that make sense to somebody today? Amen. I mean, I know that for me, when I started adapting that perspective of God's Word in my life is when it really began to develop a hunger for me. Because I realized that, you know, nothing else in life, watching novellas is not going to charge me up. Watching all these crazy people on these talk shows is not going to charge me up. And with all due respect, even Dr. Phil's show is not going to charge me up. God's Word charges me up because it shows me people like me who were able to trust God and God came through for them. That charges me up. And then I keep myself updated by regularly meditating on it and looking at scriptures that just keep getting on the inside of me. Well, that's keeping my software updated so I can be current, I can be fully functional and not pick up any glitches or issues. And then I make sure that I have the right application for God's Word. So I have my healing scriptures when sickness or disease try to get on me. And then I have my financial prosperity scriptures when I see my budget is running low or it's hitting a place where I need to trust God. And then, you know, when it comes to parenting, I have my parenting scriptures so that I don't let my teenager rub me the wrong way and I try and just be nice and be a parent and so forth. Excuse me. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, this is the kind of relationship God wants us to have with His Word. Amen. All right, Isaiah 40 verse 3. Watch what it says there. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. In other words, the message here is, things come and go, no matter how beautiful they are, no matter how divinely controlled they are, no matter how meant and meaningful they are, things go away. But one thing that will never go away, that will always stand, is God's Word. This is why it is the most solid, the most dependable thing that we have in our lives. It is God's Word. Amen. And I know before we got apps on our phones, and even so, for me, it's one of the most important things in my life. I know that some time ago, someone said to me, if your house was burning down and you had like 30 seconds to get out, what would you take with you? Considering that your family's safe, your pets are safe, what are some of the things that you will take? And that's a good question. But in my short list was my Bible for sure. I will for sure take my Bible because of what it means to me, what it has in it, my notes, my memories, my highlights, my markings, my everything, because that's how I value my relationship with the Word. Amen. Anyway, and I know that it'll be the same for you. So may we not just read God's Word, but live it, trust it, and be transformed by it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Praise God, praise God.
We trust that you were blessed by today's message. For more information about our church, our service times and location, or to make a donation to help us spread the gospel of God's love and grace, please visit our website at newcreationchurchsa.com.